Hello, friends. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I freaking love Kelly Mead, who is my guest today. You're going to love her too. And first of all, the woman can talk without breathing. It's a true miracle of nature. And everything she says has multiple layers of impact. So you're really going to enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
You have built an amazing business. And so tell the viewers and listeners a little bit about what you do in and around the real estate space and the niche that you're operating in so they can get completely fascinated too.
Yeah, so I'll just take you all the way back to 2009. 2009 was like changed. I was just fresh out of college. I graduated fall of 2008. So everybody kind of remembers what happened in fall of 2008. That was a very fun time to graduate because you thought you were going to get a job making $60,000 a year. And when you find out you graduate and you can barely get like a tech job. Like everyone that was interviewing me was like, I really am just trying to figure out if I'm going to have a job here the next year. So moved to Birmingham and got into sales. And then my friend invited me to a real estate boot camp, which was, I mean, I didn't even know about real estate investing. Never heard that term. Robert Kiyosaki boot camp, Rich Dad Poor Dad, changed my life. That was my first book, changed my life. Went to there. They had a training session and then they had the boot camp that weekend. Completely changed my life. Could not afford, you know, they were doing like the coaching, could not afford that. But I decided, you know what? I have all this material. Let me see what I can do. And that was my introduction to real estate. Now, me being a young kid, like I still couldn't figure it out at that time. So I did end up going and getting a job with the government, with the Navy. I was a DoD civilian and loved it immensely, but I still had like this huge passion for real estate. I started investing. I started buying rental properties and flipping. I bought my first foreclosure and flipped it and it became my home. So I really, really loved real estate, but I did it on a part-time. Fast forward almost a decade later, I still just real estate, real estate, real estate. And so I had moved back to Alabama. This is in 2019. I moved back to Alabama and I was like, what can I do in real estate beyond just like investing? Because I really feel like this is something that I could do all the time. And I started looking at the market in Huntsville. It was going crazy. We had so many employers coming in, so many government contracts that had been awarded. And so a lot of people were transitioning. FBI was building their headquarters for cybersecurity here. Facebook was building a data center here. Like it was just a lot of activity. So many people that are going to be transitioning to Huntsville. Huntsville had never seen that kind of growth before. And so I have been hosting just free real estate investing workshops. Every Monday night, I would just host it and just give free information. And through that, I start networking with people and getting a lot of valuable information from people that were involved in real estate. And they were saying, new construction. New construction is going to be what Huntsville especially needs because we are in a deficit of houses. We already are in low interest rates, or interest rates are still declining, and people were buying more, and there just was not enough housing, even to the point where relocation companies were basically holding off people from moving because they needed housing for them to come and stay. And so in the state of Alabama, you are required to get your real estate license because I was actually one of those people that are like, I'm just an investor. I never need my real estate license. I don't want the red tape involved with buying property. But in order to be in new construction, you needed to have your real estate license. So I took my test, passed it on the first try because again, I'd already been involved in real estate. So I knew a lot about real estate contract law and passed the test and they put me into a community. So I started working for a tract builder, a production builder, but it was a privately owned production builder, but they had just gotten to the point where they were selling about 100 houses a year. So it was still like a smaller of the production builder, but had big goals to increase their sales. And so they put me in a community, you know, as when you're becoming, especially the new builder's agent, the new on-site agent, it's very fun because they basically, you get whatever they give you, right? All the people that are in seniority, you'll have the better places. I tell people they put me in what was traditionally known as the hood of Huntsville. And I say that because historically, it used to be the arts area, the theater. Before, in the Prohibition time, it was really big in the Prohibition time for obvious reasons. It had speakeasies and underground clubs, so it was really, really nice. But after alcohol had become legalized again and war had ensued, things had changed and people had started to expand outside of that epicenter. And so you still had a lot of D-class neighborhoods in this particular zip code. Well, the builder saw opportunity because we always, one of the things that I learned a lot about development is we're looking at where the city is putting their tax dollars, where development is, what the grand scheme of the next, what's the next, you know, where is our local government planning to spend their money? That's what everybody, me as even like an aspiring developer, like that's one of the things that real estate agents should really pay attention to as well when they start thinking about their next marketing campaign, where they want to spend their marketing dollars at. But, and so after I did my research and I saw all the things that were coming to that particular zip code, I was like, okay, I have about 200 homes that I need to sell in this neighborhood and yeah, no big deal. And we're going to be pricing them about 125% of what the typical home is going to be that's already priced at. So no worries. I'm just going to have to like justify every house appraisal.
You're basically making a market. I mean, this daily task for a woman of power.
Yeah, not only do I have to convince the buyer's agents and the buyers, I have to convince, you know, appraisals, which appraisers are really, once all of the regulations had cracked down since after the 2008 bust and all the new regulations.
Like with appraisers, the FBI in town.
Right, exactly, exactly. Like, I was like, okay. So first year, before we even started building houses, I set goals. And before we even started building houses, all we had was curbs and streets in. So six. And I was like, okay, I just needed one to prove that I could do this, right? I just needed one $300,000 house sale to believe that I could sell houses, $300,000 houses in the hood. That's what I would tell people. And I coined myself, I am the queen of selling dirt, tell myself these affirmations. And by that end of that year, 74 houses in that community. And it was glorious.
You didn't have comps now.
Definitely have comps. But that was such an interesting year because my first 60 days, I started in 2009. My first 60 days as a real estate agent for that builder, I sold $1.2 million in real estate. But by the first 12 months, we sold $24 million in real estate. And yes, I love that interest rates dropped. I actually sold more houses in COVID than anybody else. Like it was, I know a lot of real estate agents did. Like COVID was like perfect because I went straight to virtual touring. It was amazing. I'm like, let's get comfortable, set the scene. I did virtual open houses, like we were moving and grooving. And then, so because of that, because I showed and I had to develop a specific system, selling system, and utilize virtual tools. I did a lot of visualization. We had graphic designers. I had people build out things, Matterports. Because, you know, most buyers, it's very tough for them to see dirt. And even if you have pictures, even if you have all things virtual, you still have to paint that picture. They want to know, where does my sofa look like in this floor plan? How does this painting, what is this painting going to look like on my wall? Where can I put a painting on my wall? How much room am I going to have to put a king size bed? Like being able to visually go down that road with them and have them imagine all those things, it becomes a specific skill. And I did that through my email marketing, through my text messaging campaign. So when they came in, either from a virtual meeting or for in-person meeting, we were always going through and I was showing them, basically we were going into, I guess you could call it like a metaverse before it was metaverse. We were going into a visual description of what their house is going to look like, right? And so because I had that specific selling system and because I knew that all I needed was to see 10 people a week, and I'm selling at least six of them, or I'm hooking at least six of them. Even if they don't buy then, but when they do buy, they're buying from me, right? And by the end of that year, I was extended a position to be over sales and marketing for Huntsville. And so that was just kind of unheard of as a first year getting into new construction. And in about 2021, now I am over all production, all over sales and marketing for the Huntsville team, which we had six agents and we had more communities, more agents, more goals. And we crushed it. We crushed it to the point where everything that happened with COVID, supply chain issues, builders. I tell people, please give every builder's agent some words of sympathy, because having to deliver those that kind of news over and over again. Oh, sorry, your house is delayed another month. Oh, sorry, we didn't get windows or in back order. Lumber is extremely expensive. We need to wait until this time to buy lumber, because otherwise it's 200%. I use that story. I tell people, we complain about gas prices. Builders were already going through that. Can you imagine going from $3 a gas tank to $7.50? Mm-hmm. That's what builders experience. That's the difference in lumber prices that builders are experiencing. It became almost unaffordable to build houses at one point. And so having to deliver that bad news became like part of our job, unfortunately. Like it was less selling and marketing and more customer service. And so we saw a lot of houses, well, like 70 houses between January and March of 2021. And then we had to stop. Builders like, you know what? We are beyond capacity. We need to get these houses out. And so we stopped for 5 months, and then we kind of have a kind of like a release schedule, which you start seeing a lot of builders do. We can sell this amount. That's only the amount you can sell. After that, we won't release another amount until the next month. And then we continue to do that. But it was just an amazing experience. And so I learned a lot when I got into that VP position for the builder. He taught me everything. He taught me everything about the behind the scenes, production, pulling permits, going through plans, site evaluations, surveys, all of that. And I realized like how much of an opportunity there is, not just for big production builders, but there's a lot of opportunity for your boutique builders. And there's a lot of opportunities out there for realtors to help boutique builders do that same thing on where they are. How can they sell their first 10 houses?
Hey, y'all, just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. It's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. Each of you has different goals. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So let me get you to breathe for a second, because that's officially the longest answer to what real estate do you work in I've ever had. 17 minutes. Kelly, you are 17 minutes. Girl, you haven't breathed in 17 minutes.
I talk a lot.
I know, but your energy is so infectious. And I want to point one thing out. I mean, there's 1,000 directions we can go in, but obviously the episodes stay pretty short. The thing that I find to be fascinating is the system that you built for creating visualization in the new home side, because if you look at statistics of adults, it's estimated that only 15% of the population can visualize. Which is why you have a model home. That's pretty much what everybody builds with a different elevation, because they got to see it. And as we look at a post-COVID real estate world, a resale home, I think that we'll see less of the virtual sales on that side, because people do want to see what they're getting and see how somebody else lived in it and see what the cracks are and the flaws. But with new construction, a system like the one you've created is going to be integral in the future, because there's still nothing for them to walk through except a model. But what you're giving them is a little bit more of the flexibility so they can see what they're getting into. And that's going to be something we'll definitely need going forward. But let's just keep it out of the metaverse, because that creeps me out altogether. And the other thing I want to briefly touch on there is the human aspect that we forget sometimes in real estate when people get so heated up, especially in this market, whether they're fighting over houses or the builder. And I hate this limited release thing. Hey, we're going to release 2 houses next week, so come fight over it. And the new home agents are totally trapped in that space because it wasn't their decision. It came from upper management, and the buyers are wigged out and the builders aren't paying the buyer agents a reasonable rate anymore, which is kind of wild and crazy, but it is a painful space, and you do absorb all their frustrations. And I love that you pointed out that your job became so much more centered around customer service, because you can't control any of those outcomes. And it's not going to get any better for a while. I mean, I'm sure you're seeing that the same way we're seeing it in North Carolina. It's today it's windows, tomorrow it's PVC, next week it is hinges, and then after that it's paint. It's like you just never know which piece is going to turn into your gap next. So, I mean, oh my gosh, there's so many directions we can go in.
So many.
Builder shot. Oh my gosh. Like you're living this really expensive life. Okay. So talk to me about, well, I mean, obviously you're supposed to tell a crazy story on my show. So I'd like to know what angle your story is going to go in, because I have some questions and then we're going to tell your story. So tell me which piece it's in. Is it an investor? Is it flipping in Memphis? Is it new home sales? Is it what, Kelly, which angle were you going in?
So when I was watching, when I listened to your podcast and I hear so many stories, and I was like, which one am I going to tell? Because I could tell about when I got trapped in a house when it was fleas in there. And then I thought, that's actually not funny. That's traumatizing.
That's why we wear pantyhose. And not everybody knows that if you wear pantyhose, you can wipe the fleas off. So there's your real estate tip for the day. But carry on. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Only excuse to wear pantyhose in the summer, but if it keeps fleas off, I will wear pantyhose. Carry on.
Oh my gosh. But no, you know, so I was going to tell a new construction. Okay. So I work with a track builder, right? So we would do personal touches. We would change your color of your flooring, maybe add a couple of things that were already within, but we're not custom home builders, right? Like you don't go find your own land. They're already preset plans. So having that conversation in the initial part, sometimes people get it, but there's, you know, there's just individuals that just think, nope, I'm building a house. And no, this but
Kelly, can't we move this wall? Can't we change this? Can we make the ceilings taller and add on another room at the back? And for those of y'all that are not heavy into new construction, if you're like a normal person who's not in real estate, when Kelly says a track builder, we're talking about what we would lovingly call a vinyl village or a Pop-Tart neighborhood, where the builder lays out 300 lots. And they have 7 floor plans, and each floor plan has 3 elevations, and that's your mixing and matching. And what she's referencing is you can pick the color of the siding. Well, if the color's not been used 2 houses away, you can pick the tile in the bathroom. Here's your 2. Pick one. Congratulations. So when we talk about track building, there's this much personalization, but I think builders would do wise to quit calling it customization. Just call it personalization, because it's pretty much what it is. And so for those of y'all that weren't aware, that's your D.R. Hortons, your Lennar Homes, your Ryan/NVR, your big daddy builders, and also some of your smaller builders like Kelly's referencing that want to turn into that because they can buy at economies of scale, frankly. And so anyway, I like to throw definitions in there because we do have some non-real estate regular people on the show. And I get lots of questions of, well, what was this? And we love y'all too, but we fall into our nerd speak.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think in just any in on any both sides of real estate, right, you have your customers that as soon as they sign the contract, you're thinking, you know what, I probably not have done that. Like I probably did not need that sale, right? And these were those customers. So, and I just thought, I have about at least 7 to 8 more months with these customers. Okay, how are we going to do this?
I'm going to be living with them.
Oh. So beyond just showing up, you know, showing up every day, basically to the job site, Matt, you have these in the contract, you know, you have scheduled visits, you know, you just have those people that just the rebels, right? They're going to go against the grain.
What happened yesterday? What happened?
Yeah.
There's a cigarette butt on the ground.
And I start getting calls from my superintendent. And he was like, they're now instructing my subcontractors of what to do with their house. Okay. That's fun. You never want to have to be that person to have those conversations. Well, we have this big meeting. We're talking. We think everybody has an understanding. I drive in on a Sunday, getting ready to open my open house, and I see their entire front house has changed. They've added their own numbering in there because they want the number of their house to stand out different. They've added like these little designs around their brick. It was the weekend, so you know people are at work. They had came in and essentially changed elevation of the house. I don't think I would have the guts to do that, right? Like if I have a contract.
matters.
And so when we go in and we don't know how that's just how they wanted to do it that day. You know, it was just like, and I just remember basically the funny part was they ended up firing me They were like, we don't want to work with you anymore. You accuse us of changing the elevation of your house. I'm like, well, there's literally 20 other houses out here that look one way. And yours, only one that looks this way. And so that really gave me my biggest like confirmation about people. Like, people are going to be people. You can never, like, there's sometimes you just got to fire people. Everybody, you don't have to work with everyone. It's not always worth whatever commission or whatever. It's just sometimes a peace of mind, right, is always better. But yeah, and we tore out insulation in the house. He's like, I don't like that one. I want another type of insulation. Literally tore it out of the house.
Insulation is insulation.
It's not to him. No. I needed you use this R. I want this R rating. Like, it was, we gracefully, I'm like, you know, we are not the builder for you. You have to have that, we are not the builder, we're not the people for you conversation. But yeah, and the superintendent let me have the first swing at like knocking that builder, that number out of the house. That was actually pretty, you know, you don't realize like how much demolition can be so therapeutic. But yeah, that was my craziest construction story, I shall
say. Wait a minute, did they rescind their contract and went away?
We released them, yes. We released them. Yes.
Don't keep their deposit money, because it costs you money to fix that house, or you're just so glad to have them gone.
So glad to have them gone. Normally we would have kept it, but you know, we didn't want any other dealings. And if giving that money away, giving it back to them was going to send them away, we did that. I actually advocated for that, even though they had already fired me. I'm like, let's please give them all of their deposit money, options money, earnest money, everything back. Let's let them go and find their own peace, you know?
That's an old move to change the house and then flat out deny it. Cameras, you know, some neighbor's Nest Cam caught them.
Oh my gosh. It was just everything, directed subcontractors, pulling out insulations, changing the elevation of their house. Like, you know, we're just in framing. We haven't even put a sheet rock
out. Thank heavens. Oh, they might have changed that too.
You know, and it was so funny, because this is why, when you know that it was normally my contract writings would be maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, but this was a 6-hour contract writing. Like, this was an all-day event. That's how I knew this is probably not the customer that I need. 6 hours.
That's where you kind of want to set a clock and say, at 2 hours, if we're not done, you're not getting the house. So keep going.
Gosh, but that was my craziest new construction story. I have never heard anyone that decides, you know what, Saturday. And it was crazy, because I thought that was, they were asking me questions about the type of brick. And I thought that was just something that they wanted for down the road, because they asked a lot of questions. I didn't know they were actually scheduling work to come and happen. Like, I felt bamboozled a little bit as well.
Well, you know what? But that's also what happens when you live in a Huntsville market, where you're so used to detail people that it seems halfway normal for somebody to ask you those kinds of things that are completely irrelevant. And don't you know, those neighbors were so glad to see you release that contract, because they knew what they were going to be dealing with a neighbor like that.
Oh my goodness. I mean, honestly, I am so, and I had that conversation with another agent, and it's like, why are builders, you know, joining the release? My clients, this is another builder they were asking about. I'm like, you got to think about it. This builder is creating a community. They're going to have to deal with warranty issues. And then there's going to be amenities in the community, whereas pool houses and clubhouses, if you are that much trouble building your house, you will absolutely be that much trouble after you live in a house. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to continue to have a person that is going to basically obstruct peace continuously in the community. And I think some people lose sight of that, especially in our day and age. Everybody wants everything. It's a microwave society. Everybody wants it their way. And everybody is not the Amazon of everything, right? We can't give you, we're not the monopoly players and everything. There are actually humans on site, and we still build houses by hand. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to forget things, but we're always going to correct it. So it's just difficult sometimes dealing with individuals that just don't get that piece of the puzzle when they're building a new construction, which is why I like to deal with a lot of investors. In
life, right? Those are people who, they've got a lack of peace right here, and then they exhibit it with their real estate needs. But I love what you're saying here, because I think as realtors, we forget that sometimes, that our clients might need to be reminded that they're about to be a part of a community. And it's not about violating fair housing and picking and choosing your neighbors. It's about your clients are moving in over here. Y'all need to be cool when you move in and go say, hey, and be friendly and figure out how you're going to live together in this space, which that might solve all of our fair housing woes in life anyway, if we thought about ourselves as the new guy on the block and acted like we wanted to be invited over for supper sometime. Yeah. Oh, like life lessons from Kelly. Okay, so that will totally be your book. All right, so obviously our episode's run long here, but I really want to hear one more thing from you. Okay. So you said you started these investor clubs where you were sharing what you had learned. How did you start that and who showed up? Was it experienced people who needed a community, or was it people who were novices and didn't want to feel like morons for asking questions? Because I think that's the reason people often don't get into real estate investing is it's so foreign. Maybe they watched that infomercial at 3 a.m., but that feels a little bit slimy because it is. Or they read Robert Kiyosaki's books and maybe questioned their own ability, because we know that for a lot of folks, there's just straight up fear that keeps them out of that market. So in the last 5 minutes here, talk to us about those clubs a little bit, because I'm intrigued by this.
Yeah, it was for new people. It was for people that wanted just information of how to get started, because that was one of the things I felt like for me is like I had so many people, although I went to my first boot camp at Robert Kiyosaki, the amount of mentors I had along the way that just gave me free and valuable information about their experience, I wanted to give back in that way as well. So I just started free real estate. Yeah, just it's because people just want information, you know, even if they just want to know what does it take to get going in real estate investing. And I wanted to be able, like I said, I came from a middle-class background. It's not like I don't have a rags to riches story, but my parents, they were not real estate investors. They didn't know anything about real estate investing. And so I wanted to give that exposure to people that inquired about it as well. And so that I always tell people I'm a licensed investor. I have my license, but I'm an investor first. And even just adding a new construction onto the resume, now I'm able to give investors another opportunity to invest in new builds, because now you don't have to worry about deferred maintenance down the road. You come in, you have warranties you can take advantage of. And so just continue to give that free, valuable information. It went now that YouTube is in Instagram, like I'm more transitioning to digital content and providing that on the internet. But yeah, having that community where they come in on Monday nights and I would stream it. I would even stream it live and go live on Facebook, but come in. And then a lot of times we'll meet back up on the weekend and just work, just have working hours. Just what do I need to do next? Okay. Oh, I have someone that wants to sell their house. What do I do next? You know, just having that sense of community help people just get started. Sometimes they just need help getting started. And that's what I love to do, teaching.
Gosh, you're amazing. And I wish those lasted 3 hours, because I'm pretty sure that you could totally do more. And you're so young to have done so many amazing things. And what's coming over the horizon for you is going to be something else exciting. And so you'll have to come back and tell us what that is when that next opportunity appears, since you obviously can make a market. So Kelly Mead, if anybody wants to find you, what is the best channel? And don't worry, friends, I'm putting all her stuff in the show notes, because I know you're on your treadmill right now. But where do you hang out and are most accessible?
So you can follow me on YouTube. It's Kelly Mead, KellyMeade. I have a weekly show that I put out, or Instagram, Kells Always, KellsAllways. And then I just launched my website, newhomesales360.com. So that's where you're going to get all your new construction info.
Okay, so if you are looking to invest, you need to go hang out with Kelly. And if you're a realtor who needs to learn about that, you need to go hang out with Kelly. And if you're a builder or a builder rep, you definitely need to go figure out your digital plan with Kelly. And so make sure you connect with her on all her links. Kelly, I'm so glad
that you had some
time with us and got to see all of my audience virtually. And I can't wait to see you in person and have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Have a wonderful afternoon. And friends, make sure that you subscribe for more. Turn on the bell so you don't miss any episodes. And we'll see you back here for more crazy shit in real estate.
Bye. Bye.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.